This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and on today's show, we're going to be talking to David Shade. David's the author of The Secrets of Female Sexuality, and he is a self-described renegade sex expert. He specializes in teaching men how to, in his words, give women incredible pleasure, and how couples can have wildly exciting relationships. David teaches men that for a woman, sex is mostly mental. And he teaches men how to leverage that by using mental foreplay, talk, and erotic hypnosis to bring out the ruthlessly expressive inner animal inside of each woman. Working with tens of thousands of men and women worldwide, David goes outside the boundaries of political correctness and conventional wisdom to find tools and techniques that help men give, again, in his words, wild, screaming orgasms. Welcome to the show, David Shade.
Oh, thank you very much, Chip. It's an honor to be interviewed by you, sir.
Thank you. Listen, so I want to just dive right in here. Why'd you write this book? What's your story? How does a guy wind up writing a book about the secrets of female sexuality?
Yeah, it is an interesting story. I was married and was happily married for 8 years. We had two beautiful children, built a big home in the suburbs. You know, it was the perfect American dream. And then in 1992, after 8 years of marriage, she left me for a bad boy. I figured, oh no, I gotta figure this out. What did I do wrong? And even though we had good sex, we always had simultaneous orgasms and intercourse, why would she leave me? I treated her like a queen. So I started trying to find out, what did I do wrong? I read divorce recovery books. That got me interested in relationship books. I read every book I could about relationships. I became interested in psychology, read psychology books. And that got me interested in female psychology. And I read ravishly everything I could get my hands on. At the same time, you know, since I'd already done the married with children kind of thing, I figured I'm not going to do that again. I've always had a great interest in the psychology and physiology of sex. I'm going to devote myself to just studying that with the women that I would be dating. So I read everything I could on human sexuality. And though there's not one book that necessarily stood out, all of them together, I saw a pattern start to develop, which was not like anything I had ever thought it was going to be. You know, I had been raised to thinking that, and also programmed by society, with societal programming, that women don't necessarily like sex, that they do it out of an obligation or as a thanks for showering her with gifts. And I'd always wondered about that. It just doesn't make sense. Why would society tell us that? Why would I feel that way when it was really turning out that reality was something quite different than that, like the women I had dated before my marriage, and my wife as well. They loved sex. They couldn't have it enough. So I figured, what's going on here? And I started to put together the pieces. Also, after my divorce, I talked to a lot of divorced women, and one of the main reasons why they got divorced is because their husband was a lousy lover. That this was a very, very important thing to them. Sex was extremely important, and it had to be good. And if it wasn't, a lot of these women would lose interest in the relationship. They would, well, most importantly, they would lose respect for their man, and they'd go outside of the marriage, or they'd end the marriage and look for somebody new. And the stories they shared, very enlightening, to where I was absolutely surprised at how incredibly sexual men, how incredibly sexual women really are.
Yeah.
And I began to understand that women are, their capacity for orgasm and pleasure is far beyond anything I had ever comprehended. So, after a series of very enlightening, very rewarding, fun relationships, I started sharing on the internet when that first came out some of the things that I had discovered, some of the sexual techniques that really even surprised me that I just fell upon, and I got a lot of replies, and more guys were asking me for more clarification, more tips and tricks, and I began to share what my philosophy was. And in 2000, I started putting together all of the things I had written and put them together into a book, which became a cult classic. And it basically communicated everything I had learned to that point. And because it was so popular, I said, well, you know, I'll make a business out of this. And I found out that men were really enjoying this. They were really listening to this. And a lot of women were giving me kudos for actually articulating what they would like to have said but can't say, because that would violate the rules. And I thought, yeah, people are really listening to this. They really want to know this. And I'm selling books. So I thought, what a wonderful thing that I can actually make a little side money sharing what I know about these things. And what that did is it brought a lot of people to me, to where I had resources to actually what was going on in reality. People would email me, or we'd end up on the phone and talk at length about what was really going out there, what was really going on out there in the field. And that also was very revealing. And it further supported what I had begun to suspect. And after a number of different books, I thought, you know what, it's the psychological aspects of all of this that really is the key critical thing. And men need to understand this. They need to understand that for women, sex is very important to women. Women are highly sexual creatures, far more than any of us men could have comprehended. Women have a capacity for pleasure and orgasms far beyond what any of us had ever thought. And I put all of this together into one book, which came out maybe a couple of years ago, The Secrets of Female Sexuality. It's getting great reviews, and women are very happy to see men reading it, because it tells men what women would like to say, but the women can't say because it would violate the rules.
Well, it feels to me like at the heart of your message, and now you don't say it in these words, but I think it's in there somewhere. At the heart of your message is something about that somehow men have stopped showing up in a masterful way, that men really need to have confidence, that they really need to know sexual technique, but that they really also need to really understand women at a deep level. And really, it seems like what you're teaching is that if you want to be successful in relationship for a long time, men, you must really become a master lover. Would you say that's kind of what you're trying to teach?
Well, it all begins by understanding women. Absolutely, women want us to be masterful lovers. Yes, they want to experience pleasure. They would love it if their men would go out there and actually study. And the important point to get across in that particular book is to tell men it's okay that women are sexual creatures. It's okay for you to bring out the sexual creature in her. She actually wants you to do that in the correct context, in the context of a loving relationship where there is mutual trust and respect. In that context, and in the sexual context of the bedroom, she actually does want her man to bring out her sexuality. She wants to celebrate and experience her sexuality, and it's okay. And that's the most important thing I'm trying to communicate to men. That and the fact that for women, sexuality is very much a mental thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you kind of paint a picture of women as being more submissive than men. You kind of, in the book, it seems like you paint a picture where the man really needs to be a little more dominant because the woman really wants to submit to that guy. Did I read that right?
From what women tell me, almost 100% of women, at least at some time, want to be sexually submissive. Mm-hmm. Most women, most of the time, are sexually submissive, and they're comfortable in that. And I'm trying to communicate to men that it's okay in the context of a trusting, loving relationship that he can be more manly, more dominant in the bedroom. She actually wants him to do that, and it's okay for him to do that. It is not in contradiction with the fact that in the living room, he absolutely must treat her with the utmost of respect like the lady that she is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important to women. They live a life of dichotomy where in the living room, they expect to be treated like a lady. They expect to be treated with respect. Nothing sexual about it. But in the bedroom, it's okay, and women actually like it when you are dominant, where she gets to enjoy being sexually submissive and even using dirty words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that by being willing to use language and to be a little more aggressive and assertive, but also because you've been a sensitive partner at the times when sensitivity is the right time, the woman will surrender, basically. She'll be able to surrender into her sexuality. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, and you brought up a really important thing, and I tell guys that you're not going to have success in the bedroom unless you do all those other things outside of the bedroom. Like in the living room, you treat her with the utmost respect. You treat her like a lady. She wants to be appreciated for her accomplishments, for her contribution, for and also the relationship absolutely must be nurtured. Go ahead.
No, this is all great, but I want to pause for a moment to take a break and then come back and talk some more about this, because this is all very fascinating. We are going to take a short break. Listeners, please do listen to these messages from my sponsors. The sponsors really make it possible for me to bring you the show, and they also have some really cool stuff to offer. Some of my sponsors, you can download audio products and books from Audible, and you can get sex toys from Adam and Eve, and all kinds of things. So please listen to the sponsors, and if they have something that you can use, I believe you can get some discounts just from listening to this show. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and on the show today, we're talking to David Shade, the author of The Secrets of Female Sexuality, and we've been kind of talking about where your information came from and why you wrote the book, and I want to kind of move a little bit into this. One of the things I blanched at a little bit when I read the book, it kind of seemed like you were saying... you can't be a nice guy in the bedroom and have a lasting successful sexual relationship. Why can't you be a nice guy and have sex?
Oh, you absolutely can, and there's a time and place for everything. Absolutely, you can be a nice guy in the bedroom. Now, I have to highlight the things that men need to do in order to progress the relationship or in order to get over sticking points.
Terrific.
But absolutely, there is a time and place to be the nice guy in the bedroom. There's a time and place to just make love. Absolutely. And there's a time and place where, hey, you let her drive. Let her mm-hmm. be the dom. Women do enjoy doing that on occasions. Some women don't. Some women do. Some women enjoy doing that most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly fine. What I'm trying to get across to men is there are times when you are going to have to be the dom in the would be well advised to be the dom in the bedroom,
right,
in order to get over certain sticking points, in order that she can realize all the things that she wants to realize. But absolutely, there's a time and place to be a nice guy and just make love. That's very important in a relationship.
I kind of got this sense that if I'm a nice guy too much, basically women are going to get bored with me, and that I need to somehow combine some elements of what a bad boy is going to offer them, but not the bad stuff, and some elements of it felt like you, at one point you talked about like the four things that women must have.
Yeah, let me talk about the bad boy, nice
Please.
Guy thing. And yeah, okay. At a very basic level, I tell guys, look, at a very basic level, do this. Mm-hmm. Do the exciting things in the bedroom that the bad boy does, and don't do the things in the bedroom that the nice guy does, which mm-hmm. cause him to lose respect. Outside of the bedroom, do the good things that the nice guy does, and don't do the stupid-ass things that the bad boy does. So basically, pick the good things about the good guy. Don't do the bad things about the good guy. Pick the good things about the bad boy, and don't do the bad things about the bad boy.
Yeah. My dad used to say, really, the way to keep a wife is to treat her like a queen in the kitchen and a whore in the bedroom.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. And women actually enjoy it that way. For the most part, now we're talking about basically mentally healthy women who don't have any kind of hang-ups.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we're talking about that. Now, we're talking about men who do not have serious hang-ups. Certainly, they need to go fix that first. Now, given that, yeah, it's absolutely true. Women want to be a lady in the living room and a whore in the bedroom. They enjoy it that way. They live a life of dichotomy, and it's okay for them, but they can't tell you that, because to say that would define them as a slut, even though they love to get slutty in the bedroom, so long as they're treated with the utmost of respect in the living room.
Now, you have a theory about why women have rape fantasies, right? Yeah?
Yeah. The rape fantasy is a very popular fantasy among women. Now, you and I know that rape is a disgusting, violent, yeah, unforgivable act, and guys need to be hung by the balls for it.
Well, and we're pretty clear that somebody having a fantasy about it is not actually an invitation to it. Our fantasy life has very little to do with our reality life.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so we're all clear on that. All right, given that, all right, the rape fantasy is very popular with women. The reason is because in the rape fantasy, the woman is highly desired, so highly desired that a man would just take her. And she gets to be ruthlessly expressive, yet she does not have to assume any responsibility for it. Women absolutely want to be ruthlessly expressive sexually, but they do not want to assume any of the responsibility, because to do that would violate the rule she cannot be a slut. It would violate the rule that she enjoys being sexually submissive. Now, the rape fantasy is the ultimate expression of that, where she has absolutely no responsibility for it, and it's ruthlessly sexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because she has no responsibility, she can let go of whatever her inhibitions are.
Right, because she has no choice.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And when it's a fantasy and only a fantasy, well, then she can completely let go to the fantasy of it.
So you do write about four things that women want from men. What are those four things?
Yes, the four things are very important to ensure that the relationship is successful, because only when the relationship is successful will the bedroom activity be successful. The four things are, first of all, she has to feel special. She has to feel like that very unique woman, and unique to you. She's different from all the others. She's special. She has to feel special. Secondly, mm-hmm. she has to feel that deep emotional connection with her man. That you hear it all the time, and it's so critically important that women want their man to be emotionally communicative. You absolutely must nurture that deep emotional connection. She has to feel that deep emotional connection where it's unique to you, where she gets great reward, great feelings by emoting to you and by you allowing yourself to be emotionally vulnerable to her. She has to feel that. Third, she has to feel sexy and beautiful and feminine. She has to enjoy all the things that come with being a woman. And you have to make her feel beautiful. She has to feel sexy. She has to enjoy feeling feminine. And the fourth thing is, she wants hot, passionate sex. Those four things, is it only three things? I've looked at, is there five things? Now, this is all assuming that there is a relationship, that there's mutual sexual attraction, that there's common social economic background, that there's trust, that there's respect, all that other stuff. Well, given those things, you have a relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. And then once you have a relationship, those four things have to be true. And you can look at any divorce, and you'll probably find that it was one of those four things were missing, which ended up leading to the divorce.
Got it. So, somewhere in all of this, as a man, you're basically saying to women, let me tell the guys what you've been trying to say, but somehow it hasn't been communicated really well. And to the men, you're kind of saying, look, you have to really grow a pair here. You got to step up. You got to be, you got to really know how to make love to a woman in a way that will make her crazy, but also know how to make her feel loved and respected in the times when that's what she needs. You're really kind of teaching men how to be men. Yeah.
You know, I'm not speaking for anybody when I wrote the book. When I wrote the book, I was communicating what I had learned and what had worked for me and what I had gathered from my anecdotal information.
Mm-hmm.
And this has worked for all of my clients, and all of their wives and girlfriends are very happy about it. So it's communicating what I knew and what I believed. I'm not speaking for anybody, but I'm very happy when men take my advice.
Yeah.
It just says to me, yeah, I'm saying the right thing, yeah, and it had actually helped people. And I'm very happy when women say, yeah, that's exactly what I want men to know, but I couldn't say it myself. I'm not speaking for them, but I'm very happy to hear that it has helped them.
Got it. Listen, we're going to pause, take another break here, and then come on back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. If you've heard something in this show that you notice caught your ear and you're thinking, you know, I wish I had those words, I would send them to my partner and say, see, that's what I mean. Why, we transcribe most of the episodes of Sex, Love, and Intimacy, so you can read the words back. You can also perhaps cut a phrase and paste it and send it to somebody that maybe needs to hear these words or maybe needs to see these words. You can find this all on my episode pages at personallifemedia.com. Also, please, if you have suggestions for guests or for future shows, or you just want to make comments about some of the shows I've already done, send me an email to chip@personallifemedia.com. I love to hear from you, and I love ideas, and many of my guests are on the show because they were recommended by listeners from the show. As I say, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, among other things, David is going to talk about an exercise, something you can do at home that will improve the sex, love, and intimacy in your life. So come on back after this break.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to David Shade. He's the author of The Secrets of Female Sexuality. And David was just reminding me that he wasn't really speaking for anybody but David, but he definitely has some really good ideas about what it is that makes lovers successful in a way. I have some friends that really feel like their life was revitalized, their love life was revitalized by your work. And that when I was talking to the husband, the thing he said, probably the strongest thing he said about what you teach was that there was a way that he was not really standing up for himself and saying to his wife, look, we have a contract here. You know, we're both wanting to love each other. We're both wanting this relationship. And I, you know, this is how I need you to show up. And that in some way he found found a voice through you. And she responded really well to that voice. It wasn't a complaint. It was more like he took charge.
Let me say something to that, Chip.
Please.
All right. That almost sounds like he went to her and said, look, I want you to do this, whatever that could be. Mm-hmm. It could be more blowjobs, it could be sex more often, whatever. All right. I don't tell men to do that.
Okay.
What I tell men is, you give her the most incredible sex she ever imagined, even beyond that, and she will be more than happy to do all sorts of things. Women are surprisingly appreciative. What I also do is I teach men, all right, let's say, for example, you want her to give you more blowjobs. Well, don't tell her, darling, I want you to give me more blowjobs. Instead, make stimulation of her lips against your penis cause her to have an orgasm.
Hmm.
Well, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to get more blowjobs. So basically what you do is, all right, you want something such as more blowjobs. Well, how could that be a rewarding experience for her? Make that true for her, and then you will enjoy that, and she will enjoy that. There are a number of other things that men would love to do, and there is a reward in her for each and every one of those.
I was really struck by, in your book, you talk about your experience of phone sex and that you spent, I think it was maybe a year, really learning how just with your words and your voice to have women have orgasms. And so that you had that tool, not just on the phone, you have that tool in the bedroom, that ability, just with their mind, just with the ability to visualize and speak to create orgasmic energy.
Yeah, absolutely. After my divorce in 92, my wife left me with the children. So I was a custodial single father stuck at home. The children were there every night. So I'd put them to bed at 9 o'clock. And then I was stuck at home. So what I did is I turned to the telephone. This was before the internet in 92. And I turned to a local singles magazine here in the area that had ads in it for singles, and you would call a 900 number, you'd type in the number of the ad, and you'd leave a little message, and I'd tell the ladies, and call after 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So every night at 9 o'clock, the phone would ring, and it would be a different woman each night, usually a divorced woman in her early 30s, and they told me amazing things. It was therapeutic for them. They reached out in the dark to have human interaction without actually having to touch somebody. And it was very therapeutic for them to tell me things that they hadn't even told their best girlfriend. And I figured, well, I feel very defeated and alone, but I still want to know that I'm a sexual creature. I still want to know that I have a sexual effect on a woman. So I would ramp up the romance, the emotional connection, and eventually make it sexual. And the women would follow me. 80% of the women on the very first phone call would follow me. And it would turn into phone sex.
Right.
And one woman that I had talked to a couple of times, I think it was the second or third time we were on the phone, I thought I'd just try something. What I told her is to keep her free hand behind her head. And then I went into my narration of what I would do if I were there. And I went into excruciating detail, making it very sensory rich so that it would be real in her imagination. And I thought, well, I wonder how long I can get away with this before she begs to touch herself.
Right.
And I kept describing it and describing it. And she had an orgasm. And she, how did you do that? And I thought, holy shit, a whole new world has opened up for me. And it all went from there.
Yeah, you get to find out that our biggest erogenous zone is between our ears.
Yeah, that's when I was starting to figure out that for women, sex is entirely mental.
Yeah.
All the anatomical parts are simply props.
Well, this is all, it's a breath of fresh air. It's pretty direct. When you read the book, David, I have to say, there's nothing clinical about it. It's a pretty direct look. This is what women want. This is what you need to learn. And it's a fast, easy read. And I think it invites people to find out more about you. If people wanted to find out more about you, what's the best way to reach you?
No, the best thing is to go to my website. That's davidshade.com, DAVIDSHADE.com. And sign up for my free newsletter there. I'll send you a newsletter every 3 or 4 days with different sexual tips and tricks to make your relationship even more rewarding.
And listeners, we'll have that address on the episode page. If you go to personallifemedia.com and look for Sex, Love, and Intimacy, that's my show, you'll find an episode page with David's name and David's biography and also links to David's blog and to his site. David, I always like to ask my guests, is there an exercise, is there something that people can do at home that will improve the love, intimacy, or sexuality in their life?
Yeah, one of my favorite techniques just does wonders. You get instant results from this. It's a way of stimulating the vagina that she probably has never experienced before. I just by trying things in 1993, I was just trying things with a 22-year-old woman that I was dating, she had never had an orgasm in her life, so nothing was working, and I'm sure all of her ex-boyfriends had tried everything. So one night, I just thought, I'll just experiment around, and I put my middle finger in her vagina as absolutely far as I could put my middle finger into her vagina, and I pressed along the front of her vagina. And I immediately got a tremendous response from her. So I kept rubbing the front of her vagina as absolutely deep as I could with a very well lubricated finger, and she had the very first orgasm of her entire life, a vaginal orgasm, no less. Well, yeah, I didn't know what to call it, and I figured, well, I had to stick my finger in pretty deep, so I just called it the deep spot. And I started writing about that and got a lot of replies to that. And it has been wonderfully successful for me and a lot of my clients. So that's a fun one to do. You will get a very positive, instantaneous response from that.
Listeners, if you're looking for that, you want to get your finger or a dildo or any device deep enough in so that you're just about where the cervix is, and then you want to go up towards the pubic bone. And it sometimes helps if you take the hand that's not inside your partner and press down a little bit from the outside, right at the top of her pubic hair, right at the top of her pubic hair there, so that you kind of make a little sandwich between your fingers. You'll find you can give an amazing experience to your partner.
I don't do that, but you're certainly invited to do that. I absolutely stay away from the clitoris as much as possible when doing that, because it's very important to the woman to know that that was strictly a vaginal orgasm. Absolutely, pressing the finger along the front firmly is very, very pleasant for her. It is possible to use a slender dildo that has a curled tip.
Right.
But the thing is, you can't actually feel where you're at. Now, if you have a very cooperative partner, she can help guide you, and then you'll have a great time with that.
Well, David, thank you very much for being a guest on the show. We're kind of coming run out of time here. I really appreciate you coming on, and just want to check in. Is there anything more you want to say before we wrap up?
I really appreciate this opportunity to speak with you, Chip. I really appreciate you having me on, and I'm honored to be able to speak to your audience, sir.
Well, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. I appreciate you tuning in and listening in. And I would really appreciate a little bit of help. One thing is that we're trying to learn a little more about you. So if you'd be willing to take 5 minutes and fill out our anonymous listener survey for my show, it would help me understand you better, and it would help create sponsor confidence and also allow us to sell a little more advertising, and so I can support this work that I so love to do. Go to survey.personallifemedia.com or go to the Personal Life Media homepage, and you'll find a little box where you can click onto the survey. It's fast, it's easy, and it really helps me out. I really appreciate it. And also, I want to encourage you, if you like my show, please send a link for the show to people in your life that you think might be interested in sex, love, and intimacy, and that way we can reach more and more and more people, and I would like to do that. Thank you very much for listening. That brings us to the end of another show, and I hope you'll join us again next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.